And on ABC Radio, you're with me, Noel Debien, on The Good Life. Dr. Mi Van Tran is currently the Associate Professor in Asian Studies at the University of South Australia. And we met this year at the inauguration of the Ambrose Centre for Religious Liberty, where she was a keynote speaker coming from the Buddhist perspective. Mi Van is now both an honoured and high-profile Australian, but her life has not always been ordered and easy. As a young student in Australia, she was cut off from her family in Vietnam when the communists overran South Vietnam in 1975, and she entered a very dark phase of life. She says her salvation was her religion. She's a committed Buddhist, and I spoke with her about how Buddhism has helped her to make sense of her life.
My name is Mi Van Tran, and I teach at the University of South Australia, and I'm in charge of the Asian Study Program there.
Mi Van, I first heard you speak at a conference which was launching the Ambrose Centre, and I got quite a surprise because I think over the years I'm used to all the Buddhists I meet being very relaxed, very reserved. But when I heard you, you had a great passion when you spoke about Buddhism. Why and how has Buddhism been important for the way you shaped your life?
First, may I say that I consider myself a Buddhist, partly because I have been brought up in the Buddhist tradition, but partly because I see a connection with Buddhism, which is a very tolerant and open religion with not so much dogmatism. What I mean is I can practice Buddhism at my own speed and on my own terms. Buddhism, as you know, allows individual to make progress on the basis of his or her own realizations. So I guess Buddhism is increasingly important to me as I grow older and I see how fragile life could be.
You've had some experience of that fragility, of course, because you were born in South Vietnam and you came to study here in Australia under the Colombo Plan. Now, I'd like to talk about the Colombo Plan in a minute, but when you came to Australia, you came just before Vietnam fell to the communist regime.
Yes. Yes, it was true. I came here in 1973, the fall of South Vietnam to the communists in 1975.
And you lost contact with your family, didn't you?
Yes, very much so. For years, actually. And I, at that time, it was very sad because I was on my own. So I felt very much all alone in the world. But you must remember at that time, the White Australia policy was just abolished.
You were actually unusual.
Yeah, and very few Asian faces in Australia. So, and also because the communists took over South Vietnam, I became stately as well. I felt a deep sense of insecurity, a sense of loss. I lost all my hope in life and I wanted even to give up my study, even I was under the Colombo Plan.
Perhaps it would be good to remind us, because I can remember the Colombo Plan from my school days, but younger Australians might not remember what the Colombo Plan was.
The Colombo Plan was established back in 1950s, following a meeting of British Commonwealth foreign ministers in Colombo, in today we call Sri Lanka. And the plan was to provide economic and technical assistance to developing countries in South and Southeast Asia. So Australia's commitment to Colombo Plan is something Australia should be proud of. And thanks to this Colombo Plan, Australia has sponsored many thousands Asian students to study and to be trained in Australian tertiary institutions.
You had no country to go back to. You had no contact with your family. You were in an Australia which was largely still almost completely white faces in the big cities. How did Buddhism figure in that?
Buddha teachings and practice helped me a great deal then. I had, of course, to calm me down. by doing yoga, by looking frequently at Buddha images. The one image of Buddha sitting on lotus flowers which rise above mat, his face very calm, complacent and radiant, with his hand movement, you know, as if beckoning that I could approach him anytime in need. These images became very powerful tool for me to get through the hard time. They also very good reminder that I have to commit to do good work. Buddhism helped me most when finally I got news from my family. And actually, the news were very, very bad. Like my two brothers was all sent to re-education camp. My sister, my older sister, was sent to the new economic zone. And one sister tried to escape, but no news what happened to her. And my dad has to queue up, say, for days for food. That made me feel more disturbed. You know, I used to stand in front of the butchers a lot, and I see so much food, and I just burst out crying, and this is bad. But then I said, Buddhism helped me most then, because Buddha taught me I can't be self-destroyed. I must rise above everything. And one teaching that helped me a lot is that, say, you are your own salvation and you are your own masters. And also people have limits. So I surrender to that thought because nothing I could do to help my family. But I realized, you know, thanks to the concentration, I was like the only floating board for my family. With that, I must try to help myself out because I am my own master.
For those outside who are not Buddhists, there are some doctrines of Buddhism which are often held and believed by Buddhists. Things like impermanence, that things are impermanent, they will change, that suffering is a normal condition of life, dukkha. Did these ideas of Buddhism, did they also come to you and help you?
Yes, there's suffering in life as well. Life is on own roses and things like that. And you have to subdue your greed, your anger and your hatred. And life is also impertinent, so fragile as well. So yes, this thing helped me very much to put things in perspective. My conscience is very clear. I have done my utmost to help my family. But my hands were tied.
What sort of time frame are we talking about here? You came here in 1973 on the Colombo Plan. If my memory serves me right, Da Nang fell in 1975. It's about 2 years after you arrived here that the North was victorious over the South. How long was it before you could speak to your parents?
The first I had to try to get news going to England and to Paris, hopefully a few relatives in Paris, because I know the French government had good contact with North Vietnam still. So it's about 2 years and a half later, I found out news about my family.
It's a long time to wait.
Well, a long time.
Your mother is from the Cao Dai religion, yeah? Which is a most unusual Vietnamese. You grew up in Vietnam, the Cao Dai. Your father was a Buddhist, you're a Buddhist. How was it you chose Buddhism?
I was brought up in the Buddhist tradition. Yes, my mum was a Cao Dai when she was young, but when married to my dad, she had been converted to Buddhism. There's no conflict between the two religions, by the way.
They have peaceful relations.
Oh, yes. There are aspects of Buddhism in Cao Dai as well. The real difference is this. With Cao Daiism, you can talk to the high spirit, but through seance. The high spirit talks to you through seance, and I find it hard for me to conduct this seance. My dad is a lay Buddhist. So he's not a devout Buddhist as such, but he's very practical.
What are the main values Buddhism has taught you? What are the main things you have taken on as Mi Van which are with Buddhism and which help you to live your life?
Yes, a sense of tolerance, and compassion and kindness, and to lead a virtuous life. Well, at least I know I learn how to subdue or to combat my anger and hatred better.
You admire the Dalai Lama greatly. What is it that you admire about him? What moves you about him as a teacher?
To me, his holiness, the way he writes, is full of compassion, above understanding. But what appeals to me most about his promotion of world peace. I remember vividly early this year in January, I attended an international conference on religions and how to find pathways to peace. That conference was inaugurated by His Holiness Dalai Lama.
He has practiced great forbearance in regard to China and in the matter of Tibet. You yourself, though, keep your connections to Vietnam, where something a little similar goes on, I think, in the sense of the Unified Buddhist Church of Vietnam is a group you've been watching carefully, and they don't have an easy time either, do they?
You are right there. Actually, I'm very much thankful for asking me about the Unified Buddhist Church of Vietnam. This organization posed a very sad and disturbing case. It's just very much like the Tibetan under the Chinese regime, because this very organization has refused to come under the control of the communist government that had ruled Vietnam since 1975, as we already mentioned. It was not only banned, but their properties have been confiscated as well, and the top patriarchs of this organization have faced long jail term, you know, internal exile and jail again and again. Due to their refusal to come under the communist control, the most venerable Guangdong, he is what you call the current patriarch of this organization, or illegal organizations, is an outstanding scholar.
Guangdong is the patriarch currently of the whole of the Buddhist Church of Vietnam.
Yes, the Unified Buddhist Church of Vietnam.
Has he also had experienced house arrest or detainment?
Oh, yes. Not house arrest, temple arrest. An exile from the south to the north. At the moment, at 82, he's still under temple arrest. We call house arrest. He has become a symbol of non-violent Buddhist movement for religious freedom and human rights.
I wonder, though, if you tried to put yourself aside from your Buddhist belief, what is it that worries the Communist Party of Vietnam about the Unified Buddhist Church of Vietnam? What is it about the Dalai Lama and Tibetans that, in terms of Buddhism, that worries the communist authorities of China? Is it about nationalism or is it about something else?
They just want everybody under their control. They want to appoint people to this organization. And most of the people they appoint are communist cadre.
You mean appoint the leaders themselves?
Leaders, yes. Usually they have to be good. They are loyal to the Communist Party. But you must remember Stalin or any communist authority, when they see religion, it's like opium.
Just there to make people feel
better. No, because undue loyalty should be given to the communist authorities.
How connected are you still to the Church of Vietnam? How much information and contact do you have?
I read on the news. In a way, still there are ways for the news to be leaked out.
My Van Tran, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you so much, Noel.
Dr. My Van Tran. And this has been The Good Life with me, Noel de Bien.